Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, February the 11th, 2014. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Michael, are you there?
Thank you, dear heart. I am here. Just my mute button was not cooperating in an instant, in any event. Thank you for that introduction.
Thank you.
Have I told you lately that I really cherish sharing the planet with you, sweetheart?
Thank you. How do you too?
And we cherish sharing the planet with everybody who chooses to join in this show and everybody who doesn't, as we hold the space for the opening to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Several years ago, I started speaking, I'm not sure now even how many times I've done it, but keynoting at a conference called SUN, Spiritual Unity of Nations. And it's happening this year in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we're going to be going back to keynote at that conference again. And the gentleman who runs the conference, John Davis, who some of you probably know, had called me this morning, asking for some input on the title for the conference and where we thought the conference might go. And having yesterday shared the quote that I did from Thomas Jefferson, who in his thinking condemned us to eternal war within our own nation, the thought that I shared that there is an alternative to the tyrants that he speaks about. And, of course, anybody who doesn't have a human life, the way it works, you know, if you don't have that awesome active presence of love, then you don't have a human life. And that hurts. That's a painful thing for people to go through. And most people don't even know that's the root of their pain. They think it's their spouse. They think it's their children. They think it's their parents. They think it's the guy down the block. They think it's the world situation. They think it's the tsunami. They got all kinds of things to blame it on. And blaming what's going on inside of you on anything else, of course, as we've talked about so regularly, it's called denial. And so I shared that with him, the quote from Thomas Jefferson, and suggested, you know, he was asking what I thought might be a good title for the conference, and I suggested the restoration of human life, the restoration of love, the restoration of aliveness and light to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And he said he just got chills, and he's got to put it before committee, but it looks like that's probably going to be the title of the conference. So that's pretty cool. And that conference, should you be in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area, is going to be the week of the day will be Saturday, October the 11th in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Coptic Center there. So we'll be there keynoting at that, and I'm actually waiting to hear back from Unity of Grand Rapids. Hopefully that Sunday we'll begin a week-long series of workshops in Grand Rapids to just support and bring the energy to fullness for the conference in Grand Rapids. And so if you'd like to join us, that would be awesome. Put it on your calendar, October the 11th, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then, and we haven't decided yet what the title of the conference will be yet, but on the 31st of October through Saturday the 8th of November, we're going to be doing a 9-day intensive in Pinckney, Michigan, about less than an hour from Lansing over toward Detroit. So that's where we'll be starting on the 31st of October. And we're going to leave it to the early adopters, those who first commit to the intensive. We'll decide whether it's going to be a why is this happening to me again, whether it's going to be intuitive development, A Course in Miracles, codependence to interdependence, or some combination thereof. So if you're interested in joining us for that intensive, then we would be delighted to have you there. And the information, we just actually got the confirmation early this morning. And so we'll be getting the flyer set up and such. And so if you're thinking about joining us in Pinckney, Michigan, just partway between Lansing, Michigan, and Detroit, we'll be doing a 9-day intensive. We've got this awesome facility. A friend of ours, I spoke yesterday about Yosef, the gentleman who's running for Congress at 78 years of age, his first entrance into political life as a non-political person, and certainly at 78, not having any intention to be a career politician, but really bringing the presence of love into the political arena, really providing the solution to the game. And he lives at a community there, and they have they're on a lake, and they have this awesomely big, beautiful mansion-style house. I'm waiting to hear back now on how many people we'll be able to have in that intensive, so we're just gathering the data on it. But put it on your calendar. And of all the intensives that we do, if you'd like to participate, let us know which one you'd like us to be doing. And you may be the one who gets to choose which intensive we do. So that would be cool. And other than that, we are heading to Costa Rica on the 18th of the month. We're here for another week or so, and then we head off to Costa Rica, and we have scheduled a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Codependence Intensive in Costa Rica, March the 7th through the 15th. So if you're interested in doing that, actually we haven't had the kind of response to that we had initially thought we would. And so if you're thinking about doing that, we'd appreciate it if you'd let us know sooner rather than later, because we're on the cusp of deciding whether or not it will go forward. And at this point, if we had to make the choice at this moment, it would be it's not going to go forward. So if you're thinking about joining us, don't wait for a week and contact us, because a week from now, if we don't get enough participation to make it a go, then we'll just have to play in Costa Rica or something instead of doing intensive. So that's what's happening on this end of the world. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
Dr. Tim is with us, and he is on.
Well, let's say hello to the young man, and how do you be, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
A little smoother start
today.
No question about that. I don't know what was going on yesterday. That was pretty crazy.
Well, as usual, life was just presenting people with worksheets and chances to learn forgiveness, so.
There you go.
It was all perfect.
You'd think the whole thing was designed just to teach us forgiveness, wouldn't you?
Somebody keeps telling me that.
Yes. Well,
as a matter of fact,
there's
a whole slew of teachers that tell me that.
The title of my presentation at the Coptic Conference is going to be The Missing Piece, P-E-A-C-E, subtitled First Century Aramaic Forgiveness. That, of course, will be the topic we'll present to the audience in Grand Rapids in October. 2014. So anything exciting in your world, on your mind today? Anything in particular to share? Especially perhaps from your listening and you're going through the Way of Mastery?
Well, it's just that stuff is just, I like it because it fits the way my mind thinks. It's very similar to the Course in Miracles. He keeps referencing the Course in Miracles and actually quoting it at different times. But whenever
right.
I've tried to read lessons from Course in Miracles, my mind has kind of done backflips, and this language just seems to flow and be a little bit more soft and poetic and fun for me. And one of the keys in the lesson I was listening to this morning was that I'm busy creating my tomorrows with the thoughts I'm choosing today.
Yes, sir.
And he hits this so many ways in different lessons, but this one is, in this lesson, 29, he was really, I think it's one of the sub-chapter headings, and it just reminds me of one of your lectures where you talk about, and it might be the from the Course in Miracles, A New Beginning lecture, where you talk so clearly about if you want corn, but you go out and plant green bean seeds because they were in your barn and they were cheap, and then at the end of the growing season you're all upset because you don't have corn, it's kind of silly. And yet we don't think anything about spending our day grousing and complaining and nitpicking ourselves and others, and then wondering why we're not happy the next day or the next day or the next day, because we're planting these seeds of anger and fear and resentment and bitterness and lack, and then we reap the crop and we go, well, who planted this garbage? This isn't what I wanted. So that was the theme for today, which hit me so strongly.
Very cool. Do you happen to have that lesson handy? Maybe you'd read it to us.
Well, it's about a half an hour long, so no,
oh,
actually,
really?
I don't have the book here. I have it at home where I was doing some recording with it, but it's, you know, the essence of it is just what you talk about in A New Beginning, that every time we choose a thought, you know, people. One part of the chapter is the thing about karma, and people think that karma is this fate business. And he says, you know, karma doesn't exist in the presence of total and complete love. In total acceptance for the creative capacity of my mind, the mind energy that I generate, the effects that come back from choices I've made in the past are mitigated. They're completely transformed, and I have the capacity to experience love in this very moment, even if this effect of my past choices is coming at me and it shows me someone in hostility or fear, or it shows me a situation where my bank account is empty. I still have the infinite capacity in that moment to choose to select for myself my awareness of my true nature as love and to extend that to others, which creates my experience in the moment as the energy of love. So I know
you're telling me that no matter what's happening in my world, I can choose to be aware of who I truly am. Is that what you're saying?
That's what he's saying.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty powerful, cool key.
Will sadly opt for the resonance of whatever's contained in their carbon-based memory. I was actually reading a scriptural quote this morning and you know, just translating it into the language that we're using today, and where it speaks about, you know, the spirit fighting the flesh. And, you know, we're just talking about carbon-based memory versus the presence of a human life. And carbon-based memory, with its hostilities and fears, tends to leave human life so obliterated by the hostility and fear that it's hard to be aware of that subtle energy of who we really are. And, you know, so many people who think they're practicing Christianity are really practicing Paulinism. And Paul, you know, while he talks about love, he has some beautiful words to say about it. You know, when he's in his spiritual nature, wow, his writing is awesome. But, you know, he also admits that he doesn't have a clue how to fix the dilemma, how to change the game. You know, he turns to, well, you just believe. But, you know, when the stress is up and the chips are down as much as Paul believes, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for him. He says, why is it the things I would do, i.e. function as love, I cannot do? And the things I hate are what I do. He doesn't know how to clean out his own carbon-based memory. So he condemns the body, kind of a wholesale condemnation of the body. And, you know, people think that's about sex and genitals, and God made a mistake when he made those things. And, you know, that line in my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Sex is dirty, save it for the one you love. You know, how crazy is all of that? And to recognize the restoration of our spiritual nature, the truth of us as love, is it's such a huge leap to make compared to what the world is teaching, compared to the language. And the words, of course, are key. And when you start using the words that flow from your true spiritual nature to, say, for instance, communicate with your partner or your children, transformation of relationship happens, and everything changes. So it's certainly a powerful direction to go to restore that original meaning and that original understanding of what we're really capable of and what we're really all about. So it's certainly a delight to be here to share it with everybody. What an awesome gift.
It is indeed.
Yes, sir.
I was spending some time this morning. I had a couple cancellations, so I was spending some time reviewing lesson 3 that you'd sent me. And
all right.
Talking about the analogy of the Dublin inhibiting system from the truck brakes and the mind and how it gets filled with these hostility and fear realities, and then they get resonated, and it's simply inhibiting my true nature. It's not destroying my true nature. My true nature is there, but I'm not able to express it if I'm focused on the hostility and fear that's been built into brain cells. And so it's more of that same idea that when I become aware that I'm resonating hostility or fear that's been accumulated in brain cells, if I step back from that, I've got another level of existence. I have my spiritual faculties I can use to choose to focus on the actual source of it within me.
Absolutely.
Rather than buy into the conditioning, which says it's everybody else who's doing it to poor Timmy.
Precisely. And I was thinking of the invitation that was originally inspired by Mitzi, with her wanting to synchronize all of the awake people on the planet in generating or connecting to bringing the active presence of love into their bodies simultaneously. I was thinking what a gift it is that everybody, or at least we've invited everybody who listens to the show, to set your alarm for 5 minutes before the show, whatever time zone you're in. You know, if you're in the Middle East, you'd be doing it at a much different time than we do it here in Eastern USA, but to set your alarm on your phone 5 minutes before showtime, and when that alarm goes off, use it as a reminder to tap into and really connect to the source of love in you, and to build the brain cells that support you remembering to do that. There's also a group of people involved in the work that are doing that at 8 o'clock in the evening in Eastern time, if anyone wants to synchronize with that. And I find that it is most helpful last thing at night, last, you know, just as the eyes close, and the last thing is, Ruka, take me into that full connected space. Power me to sleep in the presence of the actual God, and to wake up with that on my mind, and then waking up in the morning, focusing for the first 5 minutes of, on just a few connected breaths, and being in that space of love is an awesome gift to give yourself. So if you're not doing that, we invite you to, 5 minutes before showtime, set your alarm. Join us every day in centering in and focusing on that active space of love. So let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anybody in the chat room with a question or a comment for us, or if there's anything happening, or anyone with a hand up in the phone queue.
Yes. One of the comments that I just made in the chat room, though, was that it's all about forgiveness, because we're talking about alignment and removing what's keeping us out of that alignment and keeping us in that peace and love state. And that forgiveness is the key, because we have to remove everything else that's unlike it in order to get there.
Absolutely. And, of course, when we're talking about forgiveness, and sadly, the original meaning of the word was lost very rapidly. And if you, every time you talk about forgiveness, you substitute the word remove for forgiveness. How ludicrous it is when you say, well, I removed them. Well, no, you didn't. That's murder. You can't do that. Well, I guess you could, but you know, it doesn't fit very well with the work. Or if you're talking about, and many people talk about forgiving themselves, substitute the word remove. I removed myself. Well, no, that's not a good thing to do. That's called suicide. And that's a good way to remind yourself what the word forgiveness really means. If I'm in some form of hostility, fear, sadness, grief, rage, guilt, pain, and I apply forgiveness, I remove my sadness, guilt, grief, rage, fear, pain. So that's the proper application of forgiveness. And if you haven't touched into that yet, then we invite you to go to our website. It's there freely. And we'll do absolutely everything humanly possible for us to support you in being able to embody that truth and that principle. We, you know, with Jeannie and I, literally everything we have, aside from the reasonable existence that we live, you know, like for instance, we drive a 2005 truck with 250,000 miles on it, you know, we don't waste much. It's pretty conservatively spent. But other than that, every time we've got an extra dollar, it's, okay, how do we take this one more step on the planet? How do we move it in another direction on the planet? How do we give it to somebody else? And so we invite you to support us in that, giving it to someone else. And the way you might support us is by sharing a worksheet with somebody, starting a support group, asking Jeannie and I, well, what project could I take off of your shoulders so that you'd have a free mind to do something else with the work, to another level? And or ask yourself, where do I get my spiritual food? And do I tithe? Do I send my support? And again, the support might look like, gee, Michael, there's a computer project that needs to be done. Actually, we have several. I'll take on doing some of that project. I'll put my time, intelligence, energy into that. And, of course, moving around the globe the way we do, it takes money to do that. Our commitment is to travel and teach. And when we do, we pay our own expenses, and our workshops are offered free. So if you're somewhere on the globe that would like to see us in a live presentation of this work, get us an invitation. It's another way to support us. And or you might reach into your pocket. You might go to our website, www.whyagain.org, and you'll see a button there that says donate and support. Donate to the support of the work. There's also a button there for the 3HP program. I always get that backwards. It's 3HP, Jeannie?
H3P.
H3P. I get that backwards. There's a different donate button for the H3P program for those who want to support Heartland more directly in keeping the facility upgraded and keeping things moving forward. We had a building roof collapse under snow load on one of our storage buildings, and Chuck and I cleaned out what we could that was of value in it, and so the building's probably going to just sit for a while because it's about a $6,000 bill to put a new roof on it. But so you might support us. You might say, "Hey, I can come down and help do that in the spring or the summer, or I can help to fund that." If you choose to do that, then hit the button and offer that support. But other than that, the work, we do our absolute best to make it available free everywhere and anywhere we go. And you can go to the website, www.whyagain.org, and there's a bullseye in the middle of the page. And you can click that bullseye, and when you do, it'll take you to a list of links. It'll start you out with Chapter 24 of my book, then it'll give you the link to the actual latest version of the reality management worksheet, which is the how-to of Aramaic forgiveness. And there are at least half a dozen radio shows where we've walked people through the whole forgiveness process. So we invite you to tap into that, put the pen to the paper. One of the biggest contributions you can make to the work is helping it come to critical mass by putting the pen to the paper and doing the work, forgiving, literally removing your very capacity for any form of hostility or fear. And that's what we're here to support. And we appreciate everybody who steps in and, you know, whether you do one worksheet a day or 1,000 a day, we appreciate that that is part of what's building the critical mass on the planet for a shift to take place, for things to function differently. So thank you,
Michael,
for your support. Yes, sweetie.
Two things. One, we do have somebody with their hand up, but I just had a question. We just got the personal code thing going just a minute ago, and so I'm working on that. Do you by chance know, and we can announce this for the radio listeners, Rex is starting a Laws of Living class starting tomorrow, correct? Wednesday,
I believe
tomorrow?
It is starting tomorrow, yes.
And it goes for 11 weeks?
11 weeks in Lansing, Michigan, starting tomorrow night, yes.
So anybody interested in that, you can either get a hold of us or get a hold of Rex if you're interested in participating in that. And I will be, those who have already signed up, if you're listening, I'll be sending you an email here within the hour. So, and we do have a caller, and it's area code 417, and then followed by, since we have several 417s on there, followed by 689. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Good morning or good afternoon. It's Judy Thielen here at Heartland.
Why there, young lady. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to always hear you all, too.
That was a little rocky yesterday, wasn't it?
It was very rocky. But you all came out of it okay. I kept tapping back in, trying to get on to Lactose, and then finally I did, and it all worked out good.
Well, how can
I'm calling
we support
about,
you today? What's on your mind?
Okay. Jeannie sent me a synopsis on Dr. Tim's explanation of the effects of our thoughts and words on our DNA. And I know that it was written up and put on the website. Okay. Well, I took the synopsis with me to a little meeting we call Family Home Evening, and it went right along with what we were already studying. And I read it to our little family home evening group and gave one of them the copy that I had, and I could make other copies here on my printer. And at 10 o'clock last night, I got a phone call from Carl. You remember Carl?
Yeah.
And he had gone to the website.
What a gentle, sweet soul.
Oh, amazingly so. such a wonderful person.
Yeah.
So anyway, he went to the website to do his own research on this and gave me a call back about 10 o'clock, or a little bit after 10 o'clock last night, where he had gone in and done his own research and everything. And he had had some questions about the effect that it does have on the DNA that perhaps, and he was questioning that, and I think it's because he didn't have enough information to do research in several areas. He was just looking in the one area. And I was wondering if Dr. Kim could reiterate some of those books or websites or that can give a full spectrum of the DNA and the effects that our thoughts and words have.
Well,
absolutely. I'm sure that he'd be delighted to. Here I
where I would
you.
Start is, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Where I would start is with Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief. Because that has the simplest demonstration of the early part of his work where he realized that every cell has its own intelligence and every cell has on it receptor sites for the physical environment, and it also has receptor sites for the mind energy. And so even if the physical environment of a cell is saying it's safe, there's good food here, there's no toxins here, there's no physical threat here, if the mind energy that cell receives is of danger, the cell goes into a shutdown mode where it does not take in food and it does not eliminate waste. And if it stays in that shutdown phase too long, it dies. It starves to death and drowns in its own waste. So that's the best place to start. And then you can Google for Bruce Lipton and his most recent work. He was cited in that article. Now, I'm not in front of my computer where I can pull it up right away. That article that I was referring to earlier, we can dig that out, or maybe Jeannie still has the link on the website. But that would be the first place I would send you, because the core of this work is coming from Bruce Lipton, who as a cellular biologist was looking through an electron microscope and experimenting with human cells and realized the nucleus of the cell was not the brain, and realized that the receptor sites on the membrane are what actually helped receive signals and decide what actions the cell takes. And so he received the full awareness by the demonstration of the biology that the intelligence wasn't inside the cell activating itself. The cell has receptors for energy, for mind energy, and the intelligence is clearly outside the physical body being received by the physical body. So you might imagine where that takes you. Go ahead.
Just to plug in there, he talks about it. Actually, we've got a DVD called Mind Body Bioenergetics, where I do an hour on the topic, and then Bruce Lipton does an hour in an interview. And what he goes into describing in depth is how when certain signals come, it opens the protein coding that allows access to the genes and turns genes on and turns genes off. You can also suggest that he look at a book called Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert. Here's a woman who was the head of brain bio research at the National Mental Institute of Health. And she's just right in line, right in harmony with the whole conversation. The cutting edge research is there. And, you know, in the interview that we have on that brain bio, mind body bioenergetics video that we sell, the DVD, Bruce Lipton talks about how standard medicine's about 10 years behind, that it doesn't get from the research to the medical mind for approximately 10 years. And then there's a book called The Nature of Scientific Revolution, written by a double PhD. And what this gentleman says is that scientific mind changes, scientific conventions change when the old scientists die. So even though they may receive the information, if they don't know how to forgive, if they don't know how to remove the attitudes that hold them where they are in their beliefs, then their minds don't change. They don't, you know, they go plodding along in the same old routine, the same old way. So that might also assist him in understanding that difference. And I think I've got his number. I'll probably give him a call. I'll have a chat with him.
That'd be great. I told him to listen to. I encouraged him to listen to the show today and give you a call on this. And I don't know if he's on there because I know you got some other 417 numbers. So I was just wanting to make sure that I touched base with, especially with Dr. Tim, because it was his. It was this area that brought it all up whenever he gave that wonderful show on not too long ago. And very grateful for that.
Cool. Well, Carl, if you're there, if you push 1 on your phone, Jeannie will know that it's you, and then she'll turn you on, and we can have a conversation. That would be awesome, and I certainly appreciate you. So if you're there, Carl, how about pushing 1? And Jeannie will know which 417 number you are.
Which number do I push to mute out?
Jeannie will mute you out.
If you push 1 again, it will take you off of the switchboard, but I can also mute you. But I don't see a hand going up, so he must not be listening.
Okay.
Okay. Well, maybe you can send him a link to the archive so he can give it a listen.
Okay. All right. That's
awesome.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Tim.
Hey, delighted.
Hey, bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Judy, thank you for being there at Heartland and holding down the fort.
The 646-200-4169 and press 1, and that puts you in queue. And if you push it now, you're the next in line with no waiting.
So if Dr. Tim and I had just done a workshop where we had the dialogue that we just had and we were walking down off the podium, I know that just about everybody who's in the phone queue would come over and say, well, what about this? Well, how does that, where does that fit? And so if you're a little bit shy and you don't want to push the button because your voice might be shaky or whatever, I invite you to let go of that and add your question to the mix, because that's what really brings life to this, is when everybody shares their questions, because the questioning ability is really much more important than the answers. The truth is that within each of us there is a power that has all the answers. The key is, can we ask the right question? And when the right question is asked, then that resonates out of that power that resides within us, the answer, just through simple resonance. And so really that's one of the blessings we get with doing this work, is we get to engage with lots of folks' questions. And so you're talking to us. Jeannie, what's happening?
Nothing right now.
Everybody's just mute and silent, eh?
Yeah, must be. Of course, Michelle and Rex are in the prison today, so we'll hear from that tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, hopefully they got in without any glitches, and they're doing the fabulous work once again.
We just had a bunch of hands go up at one time.
Oh, cool. Well, let's say hello.
The first one is 417-255. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi. I believe it's me, Magda.
Well, hey there, young lady. Good to hear your voice. Are you on your new phone?
No, I'm not. I'm still playing with it, Michael. But I'm loving it a lot. Thanks for all of your help with that. I have a couple of questions. One is about the book you mentioned by Candace Pirth. What was the title of that again?
Yeah, her last name is Pirth, P-E-R-T, as in Tom.
Oh.
And her book is Molecules of Emotion.
Oh, molecules of emotion. I better change that in the notes. Just make a note of that. Molecules of emotion.
And if I knew where it was in my library, you could go over and get it, but I'm not sure where it is. So.
And it's P-E-R-T, Candace Pert.
Great, Candace Pert, yep.
Okay, good. All right, so that takes care of the notes. And then I have a question. A couple of weeks ago, someone else asked a question about healing crisis or healing events, and I would like more information about that, Michael. Generally, when I'm going through something pretty rough, I kind of say a little prayer like, may my healing happen with joy and ease. And I've been thinking that that has been the reason that I basically have not experienced what I do hear some other people experience, which is very intense physical reactions or healing crisis is what they call it, as they do their clearing. However, I have begun to wonder, am I perhaps not going deep enough or something like that, that I'm not experiencing those kind of physical healing crises. So would you say more about that, please?
Well, my take would be that, and the reason why the in the worksheet in step 6B, it says gently remove, is that we don't have to dive into deep, you know, trauma in order to keep opening our fields in a way that gently lets go of what doesn't belong. And what my experience has been is that on occasion it gets to be heavy duty, and that's just part of the process, but it doesn't have to be a regular part of the process. And my take from knowing you and your dedication to your work, I would say you're probably right on track and moving things in a gentle enough way that it doesn't have to become a trauma as such. So that would be my take on. And for those who are listening and are new to the show, when we talk about a healing opportunity, a healing process, or what in naturopathic medicine is called a healing crisis, we're talking about the fact that this body-mind unit, as opposed to being a physical thing, is an energy system. And every frequency that comes into it either supports it or helps to destroy it. When we bring a frequency in that's off the mark or helps to destroy it, and in the ancient Aramaic, the archery term sin was the word that was used to describe engaging in an energy that doesn't belong. So in the ancient archery ranges, when someone would fire at the bullseye and miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell sin, and it just meant you're off the mark. You're not hitting the target. And so if we can universally establish, and it's easy to do, just ask people to describe the essence of the newborn that they've held, and everybody's answer is always some variation on the theme of love, I think it's pretty easily established that we are, as humans, made of the stuff called love. And so being made of that stuff called love, obviously anything unlike that doesn't belong within the structure. So when we bring in rage, fear, grief, guilt, what have you, one, it impacts our genes, which impact our cells. And the cells say when they are hurt and damaged by sin, by energies that are off the mark, that don't belong in us, using the word sin as it was originally meant to be used as opposed to a weapon to beat people with and keep them in terror, just recognizing that there are energies that don't belong, then what most people do when they're in the process of not understanding what they're doing to themselves is they find ways to drug themselves. You know, caffeine, nicotine, sugar, junk food, hostility, rage, are all things that are used to drug oneself so that one doesn't have to feel what they've been putting in their structure. And so when the conditions are right, when you're vital enough and those genes can open those protein coatings again and those energies that have been stored are liberated,
And one of the things Bruce Lipton has showed us is that when you think a thought, that thought produces a neuropeptide, a molecule stored holographically in the cell. And when it lands on a cell that has a receptor site that matches it, any given thought produces a replicate within the cell. And so our thoughts become literally the so-called chemistry of the cell and impact the genes, et cetera. So if we've lived a life where we've put in huge amounts of offensive, destructive energy, I mean, and today all you have to do is sit in front of a television set, and if you're not on guard, if you're not watching, you know, this is one piece of the puzzle the Greeks had. They said, guard the portals of the mind. People who just sit and suck the brain rot out of the television set that's fed, that comes off of it, is just unreal. And they are energies that don't belong within our structure. And people wonder why they're not alive, why they're not excited, why life isn't moving the way it needs to move. Well, what kind of mind energy have you been engaging in? And are you ready to change the pattern? And there are occasions where, if one is vital enough, they'll dig in and remove a chunk of that energy. And as that happens, the structure will let go of toxic deposits. And that's where the crisis aspect of it has come in. And as those toxic deposits are removed, they create symptoms similar to the way the structure experienced it when those energies were going in. As there's a reversal on the way back out, it tends to be experienced in a similar fashion. So that's what we're talking about when we're healing process or a healing opportunity. Does that kind of get to your question, Doctor?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Good. That I feel I'm feeling much better about this. my second thoughts about my own process. So, thank you. That does it. Takes care of it.
Cool.
And, so I'll let you go to, we're having a beautiful sunny day here, and let you go with warm regards. I know your birthday's coming up, so I'm going to wish you a happy birthday in advance.
Thank you.
For Thursday, right?
The 13th, whatever day that is, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do know that
it
it's
is
Tuesday
Thursday.
Today, but Thursday.
It is. Okay, so happy birthday to you. And I'll get off now and see if anybody else wants to talk with you.
All right. Blessings. Appreciate
okay,
you.
Love you.
Say hi to Chuck Yamad for us.
Certainly will. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. 646.
The other caller dropped off. We have 11 minutes left, so we have time to take another call. So if you're still on there listening, press 1. It'll put you right back in.
Cool. (646) 200-4169 is our call-in number. We would love to hear your sweet voice and see what it is that you have on your mind. And if no one has a question for us, then we'll just take a look at some of the other principles of this process that we're talking about of healing. And recognizing that everything is energy, when I engage in an energy that doesn't belong in my structure, and my structure says, ouch, and then I decide to anesthetize that pain with a drug, please recognize that every drug is a disease disguised as a cure. Drugs do not create side effects. Drugs create diseases. Every one of them. Every one of them lowers the vitality of the structure and introduces a frequency, literally, that does not support the whole integrity of the structure. And so when we've engaged in those things, and energetically those things
become neuropeptides that land on the cell that become stored in the gene, then they become they pass from generation to generation to generation. And you go back to that story about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. You know, think about that for a minute. How do you get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years? Miraculous. They weren't talking about a physical sandy place. That's a metaphor for people who live in unconsciousness. And how did they get out of the desert? If you read that passage, you know, the genius that they were giving us is awesome when you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. What did they say had to happen? They said the old generation had to die off. Now, that's been interpreted or misinterpreted as everybody in an old physical body has to physically die before the rest of the tribe can go into this, you know, cross this line in the sand to get to the promised land. No, it wasn't about a physical journey. It wasn't about a physical place. When they said the old generation had to die off, the root of the word generation is genari, which means cause. All of the old causes held within the mind in hostility or fear have to be removed. We have to be willing to go through that healing process to be free of the influences of the frequencies that never belonged in us in the first place. Not always Dr. Feelgood. There's work to be done. And most people would rather just, you know, hey, just give me a fifth of scotch. Oh, let me just do a little rage here, then I'll feel better. And the person who's raging is probably in more pain than everybody else in the room, although they look so fierce and tough and wicked and, you know, they're going to get you. The only reason they're raging is because they're drugging themselves. They're producing an internal chemical that anesthetizes their pain. Person in your life who rages is shown how to access their pain directly, then their rage, their need to drug themselves, stops. And they start to become pain and drug-free. That's the state we're looking to support on the planet. That's what we're looking to promote, is the restoration to human life where one naturally engages only in what's wholesome and spends time doing things that are holy. And when I say the word holy, I don't mean down on your hands and knees, you know, hands folded on your knees. That's not holy. Another cheap copy of the real thing. What's the real thing? The real thing is doing what supports you functioning as a whole human being. You know, I can remember as a kid being told there'd come a time when your whole life would become a prayer, and I was taught that prayer was being down on your hands and knees. And the only thing I could imagine of that, geez, my whole life I'm on my hands and knees, the only thing I can imagine out of that is square knees. Where is that going to get me? But once you recognize the Aramaic definition of the word prayer, which means to become the space where the active presence of love shows up, prayer isn't about babbling words, repeating words so everybody will think you're holy. Prayer is being the active space of love, where your physiology functions as a conduit to deliver active love into the world. And, yeah, you want your life to become that. Now, sitting in front of the tube, watching the garbage that's shown there, watching the brain rot that's shown there, doesn't support much of a movement toward being holy, functioning as a whole human being who has as its primary mover and its primary source, its primary cause, the active presence of love. It just doesn't support it. It's not the world's game to support you living as the active presence of love. You'll find lots of people when you decide you're going to complain about your spouse because your spouse makes you mad, sad, afraid, whatever it is, you'll find lots of people who will join with you in that, and boy, they'll just go right along and they'll have the whole conversation.
And in engaging in that conversation, you will inhibit your ability to pray, to be the space where the active presence of love shows up. You'll inhibit that. That's why they invited us to be careful about the world's ways. And that quote I offered yesterday from Thomas Jefferson, where he says, "Tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time." And if I remember somewhere else in his writing, he says of every 20 years, he says, "with the blood of patriots and tyrants." Well, as long as you're breeding tyrants, he's right. There's going to be perpetual war. And, you know, that's pretty much the state of the world. And there's an alternative. We could live in prayer. We could be holy. We could be living as, and this is not a religious conversation. It's just like, here's how humans function, folks. You don't ever have to go to the chapel or the synagogue or the temple for this one. You don't ever have to go to the mosque for this one. Live as the active presence of love. Don't pray five times. Don't get down your hands and knees and go, "Oh, God, 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 God," five times a day. Times a day, 10 times a day, 1,000 times a day, 24 hours a day, live as the active space of the love of God in the world. Then you're doing something human. That's when human life really shows up. And human life doesn't engage in hostility and fear. It just doesn't. It can't even talk about it. When one's in that awesome connected space of love, they live as the awesome presence of love. Threaten you with hell. They don't tell you what's wrong with you. They don't tell you what you've done that's bad and evil and nasty. They are the active space of love. And love, you know, there's a pretty cool scriptural quote from Yeshua where he says, does a fountain bring forth sweet water and bitter? Excuse me. Someone who's connected to the active presence of love doesn't talk fear garbage. Someone who's connected to the active presence of love doesn't talk threat garbage. Presence of love speaks from and as the active presence of love. And the power that, you know, the non-being mind thinks, well, if I don't threaten people deeply enough, then they'll go out and they'll do evil things. Well, you know, if somebody's got evil in their hearts, and the word evil, let's go to the Aramaic, the word evil ties into the word sin. Sin is off the wing. Fire at the bullseye and you miss the bullseye, the scorekeeper yells sin. And then if you miss the target altogether, the scorekeeper would yell evil. So when people are just way off target. So love doesn't focus on, doesn't know anything about, isn't interested in that which is way off target, because love is on target. So anybody who isn't having a conversation about what's on target, be very, very wary that they don't brainwash you into a fear conversation with fear words. Yeshua says the power of life and death is in your words. Fear words are doctrines of men that create death for human life. In love, support, create, empower life. And we invite you to give the world the most awesome gift any human could possibly give. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. Function as the wholeness of the love that you are. Thanks for joining us. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.